Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our children are gone. Our families are falling apart. Are falling apart. We as a nation have a home to save.
Oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn.
Morning to you. Welcome to If My People Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Pastor Leona Ross. Today's subject, we'll be talking about what is real salvation. Salvation for real. We'll be discussing what salvation is according to the Word of God, because sometimes we get caught up in what the world view of salvation is and we get lost. And we think we're doing the right thing. We think we're doing a good work, but in essence, we're not. So we don't want to get to the end of our days. Pardon me. We don't want to get to the end of our days. And the Lord said, you know, I knew you not, you worker of iniquity. We want to see, we want to hear, you've done well, thy good and faithful servant. So we're going to be going through over a few scriptures and just seeing what our few songs for you. Royalty by Samuel Metis, Vershawn Mitchell, Nobody Greater, Victory, also by Samuel Metis. Take a listen and then I'll be right back with you and we'll get started. Things on you.
Hey, 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 hey. Oh, what about it?
You better believe me.
Oh, God, like Jehovah, oh, the giant. My daddy is the king, so I am royalty. Oh, my daddy is the king, so that means I am royalty. Oh, my father is the king, so I am royalty. I'm way up with him, way up with him, way up with him. Yeah. If you tell them, say, I bet you didn't know I was a bastard. To tell you the truth, I was born in shame. You call my name, I couldn't answer. I had no legacy and no inheritance to claim. But that's not the end of my story. So don't you chuck me off on a shelf, cause I encountered the King of Glory. And him sister me, me watch you put me up. So him clean me up, turn me round, lift me head, fix me crown, love me right, grace among me not last, no one come. Show me up, call me son, change my name, bless me song. Now the blessing cast on down. Quite a few, but one man alone I know can solve them, and there is really nothing that he saying I was the cheapest, and people put me off on the shelf. But I encountered a love that's the realest. And if this time me watch up from the self, him clean me up, turn me around, lift my head, fix me crown, love me right, brace the bone, me no last, no one from, show me up, call me son, change my name, bless my song. Now the blessing can't turn down, so me have the boss. My daddy is the king, so I am royalty. You better believe it, my father is a king, so that means I am royalty. Oh yeah, my daddy is a king, so I am a royal. And guess what, I'm way up with him, way up, I'm feeding way up with him. Yeah, tell you about royalty. Favor undeserved, blessing in abundance, rolling with protection, angels all around us, mention of his name and the enemies that conquered, power in my words, you better believe me. I'm walking like a prince, but my mansion's up yonder, smiling at my haters. All about the kingdom and Jesus is the founder. Let me sit there, hook a little longer, yeah. My father is a king, so I am royal.
Nobody can heal. like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. Body great, body greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Search all over.
Search all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater. Nobody great,
nobody greater than you.
Come on, lift those hands for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Lift those hands, singers, and let's just give them the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
I dare you lift your hand and say that with us tonight. Come on. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Party greater.
Nobody.
I will hope continually, and will yet praise you more and more. I will lift my eyes up to the hills from whence cometh my help. My hope is in you, Jesus.
On my past days, I can't weigh my enemies. My righteousness is not alive, no. Behind me in the red seas ahead of me. Da-da-da. And my 2 feet are all I've got. I know someone who has already won to tell the years how cold. And because he won, it's already done for me. I've got victory, I've got victory. You have overcome for me. I've got victory, I've got victory. You have overcome for me. Lion of
my best day.
On my best days, I can't win my enemy.
No, no.
My righteousness is not a lie.
No, 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 no.
Arrows behind me, the rest.
confession, Jesus.
We won't move.
No.
We won't budge. We won't display. You are our hope.
No. Ever present hope. That's what you are.
We won't.
Fulfill it, give me love, if you're not going with me, look bright on the other side. If I ask you the Lord, me the by your side. In the secret place of your tabernacle, me your hide. If me feel live without your Lord, me would rather die. Me say me nah move, in your presence me won't groove. Hold on and me nah lose. Only the things of the Lord that me want, those are right and now. Me the on a mission like Tom Cruise.
Jesus, if you're not going with me, I'm not moving from here. If your presence I need, so I won't fail again. If you're not going with me, I'm not moving from here. If your presence, if your presence, if you're not going, time is not going. If you're not moving, time is not moving. If you're not going, time is not going. Your presence I need.
All right, all right, all right. That was Samuel Metis with Presence, and before that, it was Victory and Royalty by Samuel Metis, and then we had Deshaun Mitchell, Nobody Greater, that started off the set. Remember, I don't have any rights to this music. We just play it for a little bit of praise and worship to get your spirit right. Amen. So today we're talking about salvation, and we're talking about real salvation. We know that when we go to God, as it says in Romans, that, you know, we confess with our mouth and believe that and with our heart that the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he died for our sins. And by this confession, you know, we are saved. But what does it really mean after all of that? See? You know, we say, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says believe in your heart. So what does that mean? What does it mean to believe in your heart? It simply means that it is not just mouth service. It's not just something that you're saying. If you believe something in your heart, then you change. Let me say that again. When you believe something in your heart, it brings about a lifestyle change in your life. Meaning, as it says in Romans 8, that you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your very characteristics change. The things about you change. You are no longer the same person. You don't think the same. You don't walk the same. You don't act the same. See? So how then is it that we can justify our behavior saying that we are saved, saying that we are a Christian, and we still do the things contrary to what the Word of God says? Let me say that again. I don't think y'all heard me. So let me make it plain and let me make it clear. Because again, we are talking about true, real salvation today. Not this play stuff, not this I can pick it up and put it down anytime I get ready. I can pick it up and put it down when I get angry with you, that I don't have to forgive, that I can hold a grudge, that I can still be a gossiper, still talk about people. I can still criticize people. I can still judge people. Yes, we're talking about all of those things, see? We're talking about true and real salvation, not this stuff you pick up, put down anytime you get ready to, see? Because then if we really have salvation, then there is going to be a change in us, because true salvation brings about repentance. It brings about a repentant heart. That's why I say if you confess with your heart, believe it in your heart. You're saying it with your mouth, but you got to believe it with your heart. And anything that is in your heart, because the Bible said God knows the very intent of your heart. He knows the very intent of your heart. So your heart then, if you truly have the character of Christ, because we know that the scripture says God is love. It says that how can you say you love God and you see your brother every day whom you hate? Then that you are a liar. 1 John 4:8, he said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. See? God is love. So how are you going to hate somebody else because of the color of their skin or the status that they're in, the status of their life, because they may be poor, because they may not look like you, because they may not have what you have? How are you going to hate that person? There should be a compassion about you that sees someone when they have less than you or they stand in need. There should be a compassion that goes from you because that is the love of God. Because what did it say about Christ? He said he saw them and he had compassion upon them. See? He had compassion. It immediately went out from him. Because he saw the state that they're in. Just seeing it. It's not saying do something about it because, you know, maybe we can't. But for Christ's sake, as it says in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, which is compassion, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. It's a change of character. So you can't go about doing the things that you were doing before, acting the way that you were doing before, because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not saying you're perfect. No, you're not perfect, because once you confess Christ, you got to learn how to live right. You need to receive the Holy Spirit so that it gives you the unction and the power to turn away from sin. Because if you could do it on your own, then Christ didn't need to die for us. Christ didn't need to be sacrificed. God didn't need to send his only begotten son to die for us for the remission of our sins. Christ didn't need to ascend into heaven and send back the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whichever one you prefer, so that it gives us the power over all the powers of the enemy. That when he speaks to our minds or he tries to get busy in our flesh, that the very temptation for us to do evil, we overcome it by the power of the Holy Spirit, because we have given him permission to dwell down on the inside of us. And in order for us to do that, we have to establish that relationship with Christ Jesus. We have to get to know him. We have to get to know his way. See? It doesn't mean that we automatically, time we confess Christ, that we good. We okay. We know what we're doing, and that's the end of the line. No. Those of you who are married or in relationships, let me ask you a question. When you met that man or woman, when you first met him, did you know him? Did you really know him? Or was it just an introduction? See? So when we confess Christ, this is just an introduction to salvation. We have to learn how to walk in righteousness. We have to learn how to walk in holiness. We become a new creation by studying the word, staying in prayer, seeking his face, asking God to deliver us from everything that is unlike him, earnestly with our heart, not just with lip service, but earnestly with our heart, regardless of what anybody else thinks or says. We've heard it said, some of you, have heard it said, well, Pastor Ross, they said you're not supposed to question God. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're not supposed to question God, because, you know, I said you got to ask, well, how come he says in Matthew, he says anything that you ask isn't asking a question? Anything that you ask in my name, believe it, so you shall receive. Isn't that asking a question? He also says, come boldly before the throne of grace and make thy petitions known. How are you going to make something known unto God if you're not asking? We're talking about real salvation here. So you have to go to God, and everything that you know that is unlike God, you have to ask him to deliver you from those things. This is how you establish a relationship with him. It's through your prayer life. This is how you maintain your salvation. It's a walk. That's why it says you must work out your own soul salvation in Christ Jesus. You can't work it out on your own. You have to work it out in through Christ. See? You have to work it out through Christ. With fear and trembling. In the presence of God, showing out. You don't not being afraid. No, that's not what it means. It means in reverence to God. See? In reverence to God. In the obedience of what he has said. See? Philippians 2:12. Let's read that. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. This is Paul talking. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It doesn't say anything about our purpose. It doesn't say anything about our will. But God's will and God's purpose for our life, because it is he who works it out in you. See? When we allow him to. When we allow him to. The change has to come. See, when the Holy Spirit is dwelling on the inside of you, he's going to unction you when you're going in the wrong way. Now, you have one or two choices. You can either obey the unction of the Holy Spirit, obey the word of God, maintaining your salvation, or you can turn away and do what you want to do. A lot of people like to call that backsliding. That's not backsliding. That's just plain disobedience. See, causing us to come back and repent again. I'm not saying that you ain't going to mess up. No, that's why there's grace. That's why there's mercy. You are going to mess up. Why? Because you aren't perfect. That's why it's a walk. That's why it's a journey. That's why God has the door of grace and mercy open so that he can forgive you. See, God, I heard, you know, God, I heard the voice, God, I felt the unction, but the temptation was just too much for me. What does the word say? The spirit is willing, but the flesh what? The flesh is weak. God knows that. Christ came down in body, in flesh, went through every trial, temptation that we could ever go through on this earth. Satan tempted him by. But he had to overcome it. He had to overcome it with the word of God. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knew that it was his time to go to the cross, be persecuted and die, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. See, knowing that the trial was great for him in his heart and his mind, he did not want to do it. But at the end of the day, he said, nevertheless. See, God had to send an angel to come. See, that's why the Bible says he's a help in the time of trouble. Very present help. He said, "Lo, I am with you what? I am with you always. All you need to do is remember to call my name, because where you are weak, I am strong. I will strengthen you." See? So there's no need. There's no need for you to be caught up in what is called willful sin. Where the Bible says he will give you over into a what? A reprobate mind. See? Because that's what willful sin leads to. You just lost. You just lost. And that's in Romans. See? The first chapter of Romans. Because the people they chose not to obey God. They chose to be unrighteous. Let's go to Romans 1. Let me just read that for y'all so y'all understand. This is exactly, you know, where some are in this world today, but still want to say, "I'm saved. I'm a Christian." Romans 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." What does suppress the truth mean? They turn it to mean what they take the truth of the word of God, and they bury it under lies and false doctrine. They turn it to suit their own needs, their own wants, their own desires. "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." In other words, God shown it to you, you're wrong. This is what I need you to change. But they ignore it. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So you know the truth. You know the way. You've seen the miracles. You've seen God move and work in your life. But now, verse 21, "because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts." Remember I said, when you say you get a new mind, a new heart, see? It says they became futile, just worthless in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22, "professing to be wise," thinking they knew everything, "they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." They worshiped everything but God. But God had already shown them the way. "This is who I am. This is who you are in me. And this is the path that you need to walk." But they turned from that, see, and heeded the things of this world, the thoughts of Satan, their own fleshly desires. We're in Romans 1, verse 24. "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts." Remember, I'm going to put a new heart, new mind in you, but since their hearts was lustful after the things of this world, see, and after sinful things, God gave them up. See, he let them go. That unction of the Holy Ghost stopped unctioning them when their minds or their thoughts was running towards sin. It stopped unctioning them because they were ignoring it. They didn't care about it. You know that person? When you was little, like when we was growing up, we had this one mother, and none of us liked that. God gonna have to forgive me, but I didn't like that lady. Mother Robinson, she knew who every child belonged to, and she would call. I don't know how she got the phone numbers, but she had speed dial before speed dial was even invented. And by the time you got home, your grandma, your parent knew what you had did, what you had said, where you was, and when you said it or did it. And you got a whooping. But this lady, I'm telling you, was top flight security. She would tell you, now you don't need to be doing that. You know you don't need to be wrestling with them boys over there. And before you got home, guess what? The word had already reached there before you got there. So you couldn't lie, because you couldn't say a grown, you know, it ain't like this generation where they can go home and tell their parents that a grown person lied. You got slapped in your mouth. No, you don't say no grown person lie. Even if they was lying, you better not call them a liar. You stay in a child's place. See? So verse 24, it said, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness because they heard the warning. See, we heard the warning when Miss Mary told us, but we just wanted to do what we wanted to do. So when we got home, we had to suffer the consequences. So it says, in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See? They began to serve themselves. They begin to worship themselves and idols. And let me tell you something. Anything that you put before God is an idol. It don't have to be a statue sitting on your desk or sitting on your mantle. It can be that man or that woman that you love that stops you from being in the face of God, causing you to turn away from that which you believe. See, it can be your worldly possessions. It can be material things. See? Because you can say, hey, I got this all on my own. God didn't have anything to do with this. It was me. I worked. Not realizing God granted you the opportunity. God opened doors for you and gave you favor. See? Verse 26, it says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passion. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And we see a lot of that even today. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So they don't even acknowledge. They saying what's wrong is right. This is okay. We know we recognize the laws in the nation now. It's acceptable. But the word of God said, no, I'm giving you over to a reprobate mind. Because that's not the way that I created you. That is not the purpose for which I created you. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased, reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. We're talking about real salvation. See? All of this, they know it goes against the word of God. See? And not only do they do it and think that it's okay, but they also approve of the other people that are doing it, that practice these things, that are get caught up in these things. And you know what they say? They put their hands on them and they bless them and tell them it's all right. God understands. But this word right here say, no, God don't. No, he don't understand how you confess in his name and you caught up in all of this stuff. I didn't write it. It was here when I got here. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth. This is what real salvation is. You cannot be caught up in all of these sin, this immorality, wickedness, hatefulness, violence, unforgiveness. You cannot. operating in you, you operating in it, and you approving of it. You got you a little crowd. You got all these little spirits around you just being filled with all unrighteousness. And you want to try to put God's name on it. No, that don't work like that. I'm sorry. I don't know what Bible you're reading. I don't know what interpretation you got, and I certainly don't know what God you serve, but it definitely is not the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not Jehovah God, the maker and the creator of all things. It is not, because all of these things go against his word. It goes against that which he has said, that which he has purposed for your life in the earth, if you are indeed in him. You can't justify that. You cannot justify sin by just putting the name of Jesus Christ on it. And then you tell everybody else, hey, if you don't agree with us, then you're going to hell. Really? That ain't what my Bible says. So that makes you a false prophet. See? You're decreeing this false doctrine in the name of Jesus. And at the end of days, I'm sorry, you're going to be held accountable for that which you do. See? Like it said in verse 22, it said you profess to be wise, but it's foolish talk. It's foolish talk. And then you want everybody to follow you. Because you made a law or you made an ordinance that says now you don't got to stick the man and woman. It just can be any which way that you want it to be. Because now it's a law and it's okay and God understands. But that ain't what Romans said. No. That is contrary to what the word of God says. We're talking about real salvation. We ain't talking about this play stuff. Just put a name on it and call it Jesus. No. We're talking about walking in truth and in holiness and in righteousness so that people may see and know that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that your children and your grandchildren behind you will know the way that you should walk. It says, raise up a child in the way that he goes, in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You can't agree with the world and agree with the Bible says. You are double-minded and unstable in all of your ways. It's either one or the other. You say you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and Satan. You can't serve God and the things of this world. You can't follow every trend because you feel like, oh, I'm going to lose my job if I speak up. God will make a way. He is a provider. He said, give no thought. In Matthew, give no thought what you should eat or drink or what you should wear. He said, look at the lilies of the field. He said, even Solomon and all of his fineness was not adorned as well as these were. The sparrows don't worry about what they're going to eat from day to day. And if you are in me, then why should you? Are you going to trust me for your well-being? Are you going to be able to stand on the word of God, on the character of God in you, and be that light to a dark world in a time when it's really not acceptable? See? In a time when they'll tell you, oh, we're going to arrest you for the things that you are preaching because it's a hate crime. I don't hate anybody. The very word of God, because Christ is in me, you have to love everybody. Sometimes it's a struggle. You don't like what they do. See? And you have to go to God and you have to say, Lord, forgive me. But I'm having an issue with this person and I just want to do something to them. See, this is my prayers. I'm being honest. Because they was talking crazy to me, or they did this to me, or they harmed this person, or they harmed my child, Jesus. See, and that's just inexcusable. So you're going to have to help me today. That don't mean you run over there and cuss them out or shoot them. No, it don't mean you do that. It means you go to God. See, because the battle is not yours. It's his. And God can always do more to them than we ever can, because we go out there and we damage this person or hurt this person or kill this person, whatever, out of anger. which can turn into the demonic of spirit of rage, because the Bible say anger and sin not. You can be angry. See? Let's stop this myth that every Christian or every saved person is supposed to be happy-go-lucky every single day. No, you have real emotions. Didn't it say that God's heart was hardened against Israel because they sinned against him and started serving false idols, and he let them go into bondage 400 and something years? He turned his back on them because his heart was hardened about them, because he kept on warning them. He kept on telling them. He gave them Moses' law. He gave them the way out, but they decided that, hey, we're just going to do what we want to do. God ain't watching, until they got in bondage all those 400 years and God didn't answer. Until he had Moses come along to deliver them. See? He had already done flooded the earth with Noah, already burnt up Sodom and Gomorrah. What more did they need to be obedient, to learn to be obedient to God? But for those who can hear him, those whose heart is really towards him, see, like David. David took Bathsheba in adultery, got her pregnant, killed her husband Uriah. But he still remained king. God didn't cast him out. He said, because his heart was towards God. So when Nathan came to David and he told him, he said, man, let me tell you a story. It was this man who had one sheep. And then it was this rich man who had many sheep. And the rich man was going to have a banquet. And he, instead of killing some of his sheep for the people to eat, he killed, I'm just paraphrasing, he took the poor man's sheep and killed it and served it to the people so that the poor man didn't have nothing. Well, David spoke up and said, well, he ought to die. And Nathan said, this man is you. David said, oh, Lord, forgive me, God. He recognized his sin. He didn't say it wasn't me. He didn't say I didn't do that. And Nathan told him, he said, since you have committed this evil, that child is going to die. David fasted and prayed and saw God's face. But at the end of the day, when the child died, David got up off the floor, washed his face, sat back on his throne. His men were scared, was afraid to tell him, to come to him and tell him that the child had died. And because of that, David said, the child is dead, ain't he? They said, yeah. He got up, washed his face, got back on the throne, went back to work. Why? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The prophet Nathan had already came to him and told him, you know, because of your sin, the child going to die. This is what's going to happen. He's going to die. See? David did not deny God's word. He pleaded with God for God to change his mind. He pleaded for that grace. He pleaded for that mercy, that it was his sin. You know, no harm should come to the child. But God said, no, my word done already went out. This is what it's going to be, because you shouldn't have did what you did. You were wrong. See? So when we are saved and we make a mistake, it doesn't mean that we don't pay the consequences. See? So, no, we're not going to be happy-go-lucky all the time. If we mess up, sometimes there are going to be consequences so that we learn to learn the lesson. Don't do that again. You are still mine. God says once you are in his hand, nobody can take him out. Nobody can remove you from his hand. The only person that can remove you is you. Is when you turn your back on God yourself. When you decide, I'm not going to follow God anymore because I don't got to, because this too hard, because I don't know. I just don't like it. I just don't feel like it. This is just too much. And we've all been there. We've all been at that stage in life. But when we look back on the goodness of God, regardless of what the situation is, if we're truly in God, I'm talking about real salvation today. If we're truly in God, we will look back on God and see everything that he has brought us through. And our confession should be, God, if you brought me through that, you'll bring me through this. Didn't you say you were a present help in the time of trouble? This is where I'm at. This is how I feel. This is what's going on. God, if you don't help me, I won't be helped. If you don't save me, I won't be saved. See, that's the relationship. See? That's the relationship that we ought to have in Christ if we truly are saved. Regardless of what else is going in the world, nobody should be able to convince us to follow evil. Nobody should be able to convince us to follow the wrong. When we know it goes against God's word, regardless of what the consequences are, I'm not finna agree with you when I know what you're saying is a blatant lie. I'm not going to hate somebody because you hate them. Why? No. I'm going to try to convince you with everything that is in me that you got to forgive those people. See? You got to forgive them people. And if you can't do it on your own, then you got to pray until God gives you a heart that forgives. See? Sometimes he'll take you back and let you look at a situation when you were wrong or you had wronged somebody and that person forgave you so you can see yourself in that situation. And sometimes you have to forgive people and walk away from them. See? Because some people are just toxic. Some people are not going to change. They're just the seed of Satan. And they're only going to make your life miserable. See? They're going to make your life miserable. So you have to forgive them and leave them where they are and allow God to deal with them to change their heart. Because sometimes that's all you can do. But you don't allow their negativity and their indecisiveness and their sinfulness to impact you, to cause you to change and to cause you to fall away from who God has called you to be or what God is walking you into. Sometimes you just have to do that. But you never allow anybody to pull you away from where God has placed you. You have that relationship with him. Don't let anybody destroy it. Work faithfully. Walk faithfully in him. See? And whatever he gives you to do, put your hands to it. In James, it says, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And there is, let me say this, because there is nothing that you can do in and of yourself, no work, no nothing, that's going to get you into the kingdom of God. It's your belief in him. It's your striving to live right. Your striving to live right every day, ensuring that he is the head of your life. Acknowledging him every day. Matthew, it says, if you put me first and the things of my kingdom and all of its righteousness, all things will be added unto you. Put me first and everything else you stand in need of, I'm going to supply for you. Just keep me first. I know you're going to mess up sometimes. I know you ain't perfect. I know you live in an evil world with stiff neck, satanic field, demonically influenced, delusional people. See? That's why he tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of wickedness in high places. He ain't talking about in the sky. He's talking about those who have authority over you, those in high places that are under demonic influence that will convince a whole nation of people to follow them, even though they know they're a liar, even though they know that what they're saying is untrue, even though that what they know that what they're saying is causing division among the people, when God has called us to unity. See? But called them, but yet and still called themselves a Christian, but do all manner of evil outside the law of God that is not conducive to who God is, nor conducive to the character of Christ under demonic influence. See? Given over to a reprobate mind. But they call themselves righteous. They call themselves Christians. And the only thing you can do, let God open their eyes, pray for them, Jesus. You got to show them who you are, who you truly are. Because the God that they serve, that's not you. That's not the God that we have come to know. See? Because even the woman, the woman at the well, see? Jesus came to the well, and the Samaritan woman was sitting at the well. The disciples had went off to find food or whatever, so it was just Jesus and her. And he said, woman, give me some water. Could you give me some water? And she began to talk about, wait a minute, you ain't you Jewish? You don't even talk to us. We Samaritans. Y'all don't talk to us. Why are you talking to me? You know, we separate. We don't even deal with each other. In other words, y'all think less of us, that we nothing, that we the scum of the earth. So why are you talking to me? Jesus said, if you knew who was talking to you, you would be asking me for water, and I would give you water that you wouldn't even thirst no more. See? See? I would give you water that you would not even thirst any more if you knew who I was. And then he said, woman, go get your husband and tell him to come. And she said, I don't have no husband. She said, what you speak is true. Because you done had five husbands, and even the man you with now ain't your husband. So she ran back to the city telling everybody, I met a man that told me everything about me. He didn't condemn her. He just told her her sin. He revealed her sin. Listen, lady, salvation is at hand. Stop thinking about who you are. Stop thinking about your station in life, because in Christ, none of that matters. In other words, God knows every sin that you have committed, so it doesn't matter. I don't care about your station in life. Salvation, real salvation, is here. So then, how can it be that anybody can tell you that another person is worth less than anybody else when God created us all? How can he devalue a human life? When God says he died for all, so that we all might be saved. And he said might be saved because some people are just not going to make that decision of salvation. Some people are just not going to choose to be saved. That's why he said, choose ye this day whom you may serve. You have the option to choose. You have the option to follow whom you will serve, God or Satan, the true God. Not getting caught up in all this wishy-washy stuff that say you can sin and be saved. That you can do all manner of evil and still be saved and make it into the kingdom. That you are a child of the Most High God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you can do anything that you want to do. We read it in Romans. Go back to Romans 1. Read it for yourself if you don't believe me. Go back and read it for yourself. This is what his word says. This is indeed true salvation. John 15 and 13, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. See, what does that mean, Pastor Ross? That means that regardless of what you need, if you see somebody else in need, you will put aside what you need in order to help that person out. You'll give somebody your last. See? You give somebody your last just to help them out because you know you got more coming in. John 13:34-35 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So where does unforgiveness sit in that? I didn't see anywhere in this voice, in this verse, where it says love only black people. I didn't see in this verse where it says love only rich people. I didn't see in this verse where it says love only Caucasian people or those people that look and act like you. It says love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And everybody good to quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So if that is how God loved the world, if that is how God loved us, for those of you who have children, let's talk about your firstborn. If you only had one child, would you be willing, any of your children, it don't have to be your firstborn, any of your children, and you had this sinful person in your family, and God said, listen, I want you to give me your child so that person in your family can be saved. Because if you don't give up your child to die, then that person is never going to be saved. Would you do it? Let's be honest. No, we wouldn't do that. We're not going to give up our child, especially if it's our only child. We not Abraham. We really don't have that kind of faith, if you want to be honest. Let's just go and shame the devil and tell the truth. See? We'll be like, nah, Uncle Billy Bob just gonna have to go to hell because I can't do that. Mm-mm, he ain't worth my child to be saved. But this is what God did. This is what God did. He did it in order to bring us back to him, to open a door that we might really have an open and honest relationship with him, that we can be back in his once again, that we could come boldly to the throne and make our petitions known. See? See? That we could lift him up and give him the praise for that which he did in order for us to be saved. And all he's asking is to love everybody else just like he loved us. That's all he asks. But we make it so difficult because the things of this world tell us contrary to that which is the word of God. They want to put a label on everybody, put everybody in a box and say, oh, this person ain't worthy because of this. This person ain't worthy because of that, even down to color of hair or texture of hair. Oh, you got bad hair. Who says that? You ain't got good hair. We got good hair. Whoever said that? Where did that mess ever start from, or where did it ever come from? When God said he looked at everything that he saw, and he saw that it was good and wonderfully made. Beautifully and wonderfully made. That's what he said. Say nothing about no good hair, bad hair, straight hair, long hair, short hair. Big, small, black, white, green, purple. He didn't say anything about that. He said they were beautifully and wonderfully made. That's what he said. So how then do we allow the voice of the enemy to come in, to come into the church? See? And I'm not talking about no building. I'm talking about your vessel. I'm talking about the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. To come into the church and tell you differently other than that which God has said about you, about his church, about your salvation, about your walk in Christ Jesus. How do we allow these things to come in and distract us from the path that God has placed us on? We're talking about real salvation. It's time out for this play stuff. It's time out for all of this stuff that says, okay, I know God says this, I know the word says this, but this is the way that everybody else is going. What did he tell them? What did he tell them? He said, come out from the midst of them. because I'm getting ready to destroy this whole city. Now, you stay there if you want to, but you better come out from the midst of them. See? So sometimes it's good to be alone in order to maintain your relationship in Christ, in order to maintain that good thing that God has placed down on the inside of you. Sometimes you just got to go off by yourself and leave all those people where they at. Because it very well may be that God is calling you to be a light in a dark place. See? He told the disciples to go out and preach this gospel unto all the nations. See? That Christ came, he died that you might be saved. That's what he said. See? Preach this gospel. Tell them about Christ, not tell them about you. Yes, the Bible does say we overcome by the words of our testimony. That is for somebody going through the same situation that you're going through, so they may know that if God brought you out, yes, he can also bring them out. See? But before they get there, they don't need to know about you, sweetie, I'm sorry. They need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to know that he died so that they could be saved. He died for the redemption and the remission of their sins. That they've already been forgiven. All they got to do is accept Christ and begin to walk in holiness and righteousness in salvation, to study the word, to pray, to seek his face so they can obtain and walk in the characteristics of Christ Jesus, which only comes from a personal relationship with Christ. Because men, women, they're going to mess up every day. So we can't focus on that. We go, I hear a lot of people, and I used to be one of those people, you go to church, man, them people ain't living right. Them people ain't saved. Deke was at the bar with me on Saturday. Now he up there praying in front of the whole congregation. He ain't saved. No, take your eyes off people. They ain't got a heaven or hell to put you in. You've got to get in the presence of God and allow God to minister to you, to minister to your spirit, to show you that which he has said about you. Like he told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, don't say that you don't child, because before I placed you in your mother's womb, I called you to be a prophet unto the nations. So don't tell me what you can't do. I created you. I made you. This is what I called you for. Allow God to speak that into your spirit when you get in his presence. See? He told Isaiah, Isaiah 6 and 1, after he said, after King Uzziah died, which was Isaiah's uncle, he said, then I saw the Lord. In other words, he couldn't see God until he got away from Uzziah. Isaiah had to die in order for Isaiah to seek salvation for his own life. And what was his confession? He said, look, God, I see you. He said, I saw the temple, and it was high. He was high and lifted up in the temple, and all the angels going around saying, holy, 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 and all that. Isaiah 6 and 1, read it for yourself. We're not going to go there. We're running out of time right now. And he said, God, you know, I'm in your presence, but I'm unworthy because I have unclean lips, and I come from an unclean people. You know, everybody I've been around, ain't none of us saved, God. We all sinners, but you got me here in your presence. You know, I don't even supposed to be here. And we done seen people about that in church. We know what they did. We know where they've been at. And we might be thinking, now, you know, we used to say, have a saying growing up, whoo, if they go to church, you know, the house going to burn down. The whole church going to burn down when he walk in. No. Who did Jesus go to? He didn't go to the synagogue. He didn't go to those in the church. Jesus went to the people who needed him most. He went to the sinners. To the sinners. See? So God, in order to remedy Isaiah's complaint, he took a coal off the altar and put it on his mouth. He said, now I made you clean. See, once God has made you clean, nobody can say it. Nobody has any right to say anything else about you. They might see you stumble. They might see you struggle, but as long as you are in God, your heart is for him, your face is towards him. Ain't nobody got nothing else to say because they don't know your walk. They don't know what God is doing for you. They don't know. But at the end of the day, see, when God says, you know, you done well, my good and faithful servant, that's all that counts. It don't matter what anybody else says. Talking about real salvation here. So don't be afraid, see, to contend for the faith that was once given to the saints. In other words, to fight for that which God has spoken about you, to fight to stay saved, to fight to stay on your walk in Christ Jesus. Regardless of what anybody else says, regardless of what anybody else thinks, regardless of what the world is doing around you. Pray, study. The Bible says study to show thyself approved. Read the word for yourself. Don't just take Pastor Ross' word for it. Go. Research the scriptures. Read it for yourself. Pray and ask God for understanding so that you know what his will is for your life. Ask for the characteristics of Christ to richly dwell in you. Ask for the peace that passes all understanding. Ask for God to give you a heart of that forgives, a heart of unconditional love, so that you don't judge people, so that you don't gossip about people. You don't belittle people, but you see them as God sees them. It's not difficult. It's not hard. It's not impossible, because if it was impossible, God wouldn't have never gave us his spirit so that we could do it. It's just that many times we don't want to do it because we get caught up in our emotions because people hurt us of what they said or things of the past. But if you ask God to deliver you from those things, surely he will. Because he's not a man that he should lie. He will do it. Remember, he says, anything that you ask in his name, believing, so shall you receive it. Anything. Anything. Need deliverance? Ask for it. Need salvation? Ask for it. Need a closer relationship with him? Ask for it. He will do it. He will do it. But never give up on your salvation. Never give up on that which God has called you, regardless. Don't compromise your integrity in Christ to please somebody in the world. Let me say that again. Never compromise your integrity in Christ to please somebody in the world. Because 9 times out of 10, when you're given to that temptation, that man or that woman, that boy or that girl, whatever it is, that job is going to disappear. You're going to walk out your life, and you're going to be heartbroken and sad and wondering why and how, rather than standing on the word of God and waiting on God to give you, to bless you with all that he desires for you, which is always going to be more than anything in this world. So never give up. Never compromise your integrity of Christ for anything. Amen. This has been Pastor Leona Ross with If My People. Our topic today was true salvation. I truly hope that this word touched your heart, touched your spirit, that it blessed you in some kind of way. Remember, study to show thyself approved. Go back, read scriptures, do the research on your own. I ain't saying you have to agree with me. Read for yourself. Read it for yourself and allow God to speak to you. This has been If My People. We will see you next Sunday at noon with If My People. We going up out of here with Samuel Metas. They don't know. Blessings on you all. Love you all.
Let me hear you say, yeah, 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 yeah.
Come on, sweetheart.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
presence of the Lord, and you lift up holy hands, and you make a joyful noise to Him. It's okay if your neighbor don't understand.
Okay.
Sing it again. When you walk into the presence of the Lord, and you lift up holy hands, oh Lord, and you make a joyful noise to Him. It's okay if some people don't understand.
Tell me why.
Cause they don't know when you are sinking low, who picked you up.
They don't know
when you are running dry, who filled your cup.
They don't know
that you almost lost your mind, felt like giving up. But you got a reason, you got a reason today. Yeah, turn the jump on way.
Of the Lord, yeah. And we're lifting holy hands. There's a joy that runs deep within our hearts, oh yeah. Something they can't understand.
Oh, nah, 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 nah.
Come here now. Stop from give all praise and thanks to my Jehovah. Me can't. Stop from big up the one who me calls to my Redeemer. Me can't. Turn my back on you, oh Jesus. Oh no, you're the reason for my life.
Them raise. Come on and make a joyful noise, yeah. Praise is what I do, getting on what I so should do, yeah. You hear me lifting up my voice, yeah. I get out of flaps and waves, me giving him the highest praise. My neighbor give me some praise, cause I want to misbehave. Oh Lord, I want to dance and jump, I want to praise and shout. And it's fine if they don't feel what this is about.
Turn away. When I was thinking love, who picked me up?
They don't know.
When I was running dry, Jesus filled my cup.
They don't know.
I almost lost my mind, felt like giving up. But I got a reason, I got a reason. So
the world, yeah.
Blessings.